Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 36, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Shrinvanti gayanti garnantya bhikshnasha smaranti nandanti tavehitang janaha sa eva pasyantya chirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam padam bhujam.
O Krishna, this Kunti Devi is speaking to Krishna. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death.
Kunti Devi in the...
The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna cannot be seen by our present conditional vision. In order to see Him, one has to change his present vision by developing a different condition of life full of spontaneous love of Godhead. When Sri Krishna was personally present on the face of the globe, not everyone could see Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Materialists like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Jarasandha, and Shishupal were highly qualified personalities by acquisition of material assets, but they were unable to appreciate the presence of the Lord. Therefore, even though the Lord may be present before our eyes, it is not possible to see Him unless we have the necessary vision. This necessary qualification is developed by the process of devotional service only, beginning with hearing about the Lord from the right sources. The Bhagavad Gita is one of the popular literatures which are generally heard, chanted, repeated, etc. by the people in general. But in spite of such hearing, etc., sometimes it is experienced that the performer of such devotional service does not see the Lord eye to eye. The reason is that the first item, Shravana, is very important. If hearing is from the right sources, it acts very quickly. Generally, people hear from unauthorized persons. Such unauthorized persons may be very learned by academic qualifications, but because they do not follow the principles of devotional service, hearing from them becomes a sheer waste of time. Sometimes the texts are interpreted fashionably to suit their own purposes. Therefore, first one should select a competent and bona fide speaker and then hear from him. When the hearing process is perfect and complete, the other processes become automatically perfect in their own way. Translate that paragraph. There are different transcendental activities of the Lord, and each and every one of them is competent to bestow the desired result, provided the hearing process is perfect. In the Bhagavatam, the activities of the Lord begin from His dealings with the Pandavas. There are many other pastimes of the Lord in connection with His dealings with the Asuras and others. And in the 10th canto, the sublime dealings with His conjugal associates, the gopis, as well as with His married wives at Dwaraka, are mentioned, since the Lord is absolute. There is no difference in the transcendental nature of each and every dealing of the Lord. But sometimes people in an unauthorized hearing process take more interest in hearing about His dealings with the gopis. Such an inclination indicates the lusty feelings of the hearer. So a bona fide speaker of the dealings of the Lord never indulges in such hearings. One must hear about the Lord from the very beginning, as in the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other scriptures, And that will help the hearer attain perfection by progressive development. One should not therefore consider that his dealings with the Pandavas are less important than his dealings with the gopis. We must always remember that the Lord is always transcendental to all mundane attachment. In all the above-mentioned dealings of the Lord, He is the hero in all circumstances, and hearing about Him or about His devotees or combatants is conducive to spiritual life. It is said that the Vedas and Puranas, etc., are all made to revive our lost relation with Him. Hearing of all these scriptures is essential. This very beautiful verse was recited by Kunti Rani to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's translation is also very poetic, beautiful to hear. And the subject is also most inspiring, especially for those who are on the path of devotional service, which importantly within devotional service includes the activities of hearing, chanting, and repeating Krishna's transcendental activities. Because here we are assured that simply by this process of hearing, chanting about, and remembering Krishna's transcendental activities, we will attain to Krishna. Utterance by Srimati Kunti Devi gives great hope to the devotees. Now, prior to this, Kunti Devi has spoken about the nature of Krishna and how it's very difficult to understand for various reasons. The nature of Krishna is very difficult to understand because He is so great and we are not so great. So our capacity to understand Him is not sufficient. And because, as she says, He appears to be deliberately confusing us. That sounds like a very bad thing to do. But it's not bad. Just like the actor deliberately confuses us by playing a role that is not his actual personality. So although he's engaging in what could be termed deceptiveness, it is accepted as, it is not considered to be deceptive in a bad way, but it is considered to be a good contribution. So it is confused. Kunti Devi says that Krishna, everything about him seems to be very confusing. Although he's unborn, he takes birth. Although he is all-powerful and he is fear personified, he is afraid of the whipping stick of Mother Yashoda. So the example is there, just he's like an actor on a stage. The actor is one person, but he plays the part of another person. Like all analogies, this analogy has its limitations. The analogy is that Krishna is Purusham Adyam Ishvaram Prakrite Param. He is the original person. He is the supreme controller who is transcendental to material nature. But he is playing the part of a village child as the son of Mother Yashoda. He becomes afraid when she wants to punish him. And he rubs his eyes, and in this way the mascara kajal in his eyes become mixed with his tears. So in this way, although he is most extraordinary in his pastimes, he often appears to be most ordinary. So this analogy has its limitations. The analogy of an actor on a stage who is not recognized. This presumes that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his Leela, his play, it's only a play. But actually, Krishna's play as the son of Yashoda, that is as real as his being the supreme controller. And it could be argued that that's even more real. Anyway, it certainly isn't very easy to understand how he who is fear by fear personified is afraid of some what appears to be insignificant village woman, namely Yashoda Mai. Then Kunti Devi discusses why Krishna comes to this world. He who is unborn becomes born, another contradiction. Why? Well, she suggests some different reasons. Kichid ahuhu, some people say. Usually when someone introduces a statement by some people say, we tell them to just keep quiet and don't say anything more. Because we expect to hear some nonsensical statement. But here, when Kunti Devi says, some people say, that means Kunti Devi, she moves in the circle of devotees. So she is giving the opinion of various devotees. So what are the various reasons that they offer for Krishna's appearing in this world? I think you all recently studied this Kunti Stuti, is it? Here in the temple?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see how well you studied. What are some of the reasons, Kunti Devi says, that some different people say Krishna has appeared in this world? Why? Why has the unborn become born? Anyone who is in the course? One. Come on, tell us one at least. Hare Krishna. Well, I guess we have to go. Srinvanti Gayanti, and we have to go on hearing and chanting. All right, well, at the beginning of the 10th canto, we find Bhumi Devi distressed, right? So, some people say that Krishna has appeared in this world to relieve the distress of the earth, who was very much aggrieved due to the presence of various demoniac kings on her surface. Some say that Krishna appeared because Brahma called him, which is, of course, intimately connected with Bhumi Devi's appeal. Some say that he appeared in the family of the Yadus to glorify that family because they're all great devotees. What are some other reasons? I think there's some more. There are so many. I mean, there are so many. But because prayed for by Vasudeva and Devaki to kill those who are envious of the demigods. She says you came to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, chanting, hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on. So that the conditioned soul, suffering from material pangs, might take advantage and gain liberation. So many, many reasons could be analyzed why Krishna comes to this world. Actually, with every action, with everything he does, Krishna achieves many different purposes. Krishna is most expert. He's expert in multitasking, doing many things all at once. Achieving many purposes by single action. Just like when he lifted Govardhan Hill, he thwarted the evil intention of Indra. He protected the residents of Rajabhumi. He further glorified Govardhan Hill. He arranged a situation whereby he could be with all his devotees all together for an extended period. Because normally the gopis, especially the young gopis, they could not publicly come before Krishna. But on this occasion they had a good excuse to be present with Krishna day and night, 7 days. So Krishna was reciprocating with all his devotees in the different bhavs all at once, which normally he can't do. Krishna demonstrated how he always protects his devotees. Not only did he protect the Vrajavasis, but he also protected Indra, who's also a devotee. But he protected Indra from his own madness and brought Indra to his senses. So in this way, Krishna performs, he fulfills many purposes with every action. So why Krishna came to this world, there could be many, 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 many reasons given. Just like in the Atmarama verse, eventually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's in giving the meanings to that, he says actually there can be unlimited meanings, because it can be understood in term every single, it can be explained in terms of every single devotee of Krishna. So there you have unlimited meanings of the verse. So in this way, why does Krishna come to this world? That can be explained in millions of ways, because Krishna has millions of devotees. Why does Krishna come to this world? For Nanda, for Yashoda, for Uddhava, for Balaram. And then even with each devotee, that can also be expanded more. Krishna comes to this world to carry Nanda Baba's shoes on his head, on Krishna's head. Krishna comes to this world to sit on Nanda Baba's lap and pull at his mustaches. So in this way, why Krishna comes to this world, there's no limit to the explanations of that. But in this verse which we have recited today, Kunti Devi sums up all the reasons that Krishna comes. From the perception of devotees who aspire to join Krishna in his pastimes. Shrimvanti gayanti gurnantya bhikshnasha smaranti nandanti tavehitang janaha ta eva pashyantya chirena tavakam bhava prabaho paramang padam bhujam. She says that those who go on all the time hearing and chanting about you and accepting that within their heart, who remember your pastime, who take pleasure in doing so, or take pleasure in others doing so, such persons, Kunti Devi says, certainly, very soon, will see your lotus feet, which stop birth and death. So by hearing and chanting about Krishna, engaging in devotional service, there is the positive effect of attaining the blissful loving service of Krishna. Actually, it's all positive effects. There are no bad effects. But there is negation also, a negation of birth and death. So Krishna comes to this world and he performs pastimes. And up to the present day, the people who are devotees, who are fortunate people, they go on hearing and chanting about Krishna. The non-devotees, they cannot understand why. And the pure devotees, they cannot understand why anyone would want to do anything else but engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna. We see that Srila Prabhupada, he was completely addicted to hearing and chanting about Krishna. He wanted the whole world to hear and chant about Krishna. So he compiled all these books just to give people information about Krishna. Krishna comes to this world and performs his mind-enchanting pastimes, Manoharam. But people can't take advantage of that unless there are devotees to broadcast those pastimes. More ambitious materialists, they want that they will make their mark on history, that they will be remembered in future. Maybe some statue will be erected of them after they die so that the pigeons can come and pass stool on it. Exploits will be related in the history books. So in this way, they want to have their deity established and their leela recited. But they're simply imitating Krishna. And whoever it may be, it's a very poor imitation. Because Krishna is naturally attractive. And everyone else is whatever attraction they may have is most insignificant in comparison to Krishna. In history, the further away from that person you become removed in time, the less you feel any connection. Just like people of my age in India, If we speak about Indira Gandhi, well, they think, oh yeah, we used to see her on the TV giving a photo in the paper and all this kind of thing. But those who were born, I guess, in the late 70s, she died in the late 70s, right? So they... Mid-80s, was it? Okay. So those who were born in the early 1980s, they don't remember anything about her when she was alive. So it doesn't have the same effect when they think about her. And if we think about someone further back in history, like Subhash Chandra Bose, you feel less connection. If we hear about some kings who were ruling in this area some hundreds of years ago, but this area came under which? The Pallava kings? This was under Tamil kings? Cheras, you see. They were such big people that they're now hardly anyone knows even. So even though they were so well known at the time in this very area, now hardly even anyone knows anything about them. And whatever contributions they have made, it doesn't affect us in any way. Whatever social reforms they may have made, it doesn't affect us. Some acts of kings, they can have an effect for some hundreds of years. For instance, if they make irrigation canals and the canals are properly maintained, they can have an effect even for hundreds of years. Sometimes some king founds a city and that city continues to exist maybe for hundreds of years. Just like Rome in Italy was said to be founded by Romulus, was it not? Romulus and Remus. Although I wonder how many people living in Rome think about them or feel any connection with them. So we're hearing about Krishna. And we don't think, when we hear about Krishna, we're hearing about pastimes more than 5,000 years ago. But when we hear about Krishna, it doesn't seem to us like some very distant person in the remote past. That's because Krishna is not only unborn, but he's also eternal. And though he appeared in this world 5,000 years ago, he's present eternally. So hearing and chanting about Krishna, it's not like hearing and chanting about some ancient historical figure. What are the effects of hearing and chanting about mundane people? Well, if you hear about some old national heroes, that might increase your sense of national pride, which is nonsense anyway. National pride. By hearing about national heroes and learning about their activities, you might be able to get some marks and pass your history examination. You might take some inspiration from their character. But none of them can evoke the heart's feelings in the way that Krishna does. Because all persons of the historical figures, all those characters, they're unreal, actually. Even revered persons like Mahatma Gandhi, that's not his real personality. That's simply one role that he assumed in one lifetime. But all of us are passing from body to body to body. So the king of one day can be the cat of another day. The Brahma of one day can be a worm in stool after some time. So all these characters that people assume are all illusory. But Krishna, his personality is real. And in fact, it's the ultimate reality, and all else depends upon Krishna for its existence. So when people come to a very high level of self-realization, then they appreciate Krishna. Because Krishna is Ishvaram Prakrite Param. He is the supreme controller beyond material contamination. This is a great mystery for materialistic people and neophyte transcendentalists. Neophyte transcendentalists means those who think that transcendence is a state attained simply by negation of materialism. They cannot understand how by hearing about Krishna one becomes purified. If we hear about some ordinary person, they're a minor thief. I mean, they're not even a major thief, they're a minor thief. You know, they're not like a modern Indian politician, just stealing some, you know, little butter here and there. And dancing with some village girls. Doesn't seem like, you know, very important person. In the village, it may be big talk. You see, when he is a baby, he's stealing the butter. It's big talk in the village. Because what is there to talk about in the village anyway? In the village, if a goat gives birth, it's big talk. So in the village, some baby is stealing butter and grows up and he dances with others' wives. So in the village, it's a big thing. But in the sophisticated cities like Mathura, they're not interested in what goes on in the village. They don't even want to hear about anything about the village. They're not at all interested in the social life of the village. So how is it that people should be interested in hearing about Krishna? That is another mystery of Krishna and his pastimes. That although he is the supreme powerful, he takes a role that from the material perspective, appears to be utterly insignificant. Yeah, everyone turn off your cell phone, please. See, even the cell phone goes off, they could just turn it off, but they have to run out and no taste for hearing about Krishna. They have taste for hearing from their materialistic relatives or whoever it may be who's calling them. So Krishna comes to this world and performs his activity. Many of them which appear to be very ordinary. Some are certainly extraordinary. His killing of the demons is extraordinary. Especially in his childhood pastimes, how he, appearing to be just some helpless child, was able to kill these fearsome demons. But Krishna's activities like taking the cows out for grazing, eating with his friends, these appear to be very ordinary activities. But by hearing about Krishna, one becomes purified. And the symptom of that purification is that one likes to hear more about Krishna. Because Krishna's activities, they are categorically different to that of ordinary people. Whatever ordinary people do, good or bad, simply entangles them in this material world. Whatever Krishna does, which whether it's considered good or bad from the materialistic perspective, that is that purifies us and releases us from material entanglement. So Krishna comes to this world to perform his amazing activities, even the ones which don't seem to be so amazing, they're also amazing. The quality of love that is shared between Krishna and his devotees is what makes them extraordinary, although the activities themselves may seem to be quite ordinary. So by coming to this world, Krishna, he performs activities which others who come later can take pleasure in hearing about. And that requires, that, of course, that there be devotees present in the world who appreciate these pastimes, who relish these pastimes, and speak them to others. Krishna performed so many wonderful activities when he appeared in this world. Vyasadeva recorded these activities. And later in subsequent generations, various devotees spoke these activities to others. And actually there is a huge body of cultural material. So many books have been written based on Krishna's pastimes. So many poems and dramas have been written based on Krishna's pastime. Even today in India, it's very much part of the culture to recite the pastimes of Krishna. Still today in North India especially, it's common that speakers will sit. They'll have organized meetings in which thousands of people will come to hear about the pastimes of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada introduced this culture all over the world because Krishna is the actual person worth hearing about. So Srila Prabhupada instituted this system of having daily discussion of Krishna, that people will daily put time aside simply for hearing about Krishna. So on this day especially, Janmashtami, we want to hear and chant about Krishna. Every day we should hear and chant about Krishna. But these festival days are meant for, especially for hearing and chanting about Krishna. Krishna, of course, that means certain festivals are for glorifying various avatars of Krishna. Some festivals are for glorifying devotees of Krishna. Some festivals are for glorifying certain pastimes of Krishna. But the center is always Krishna. And these festival days, especially here in India, is a great opportunity to awaken taste within people for hearing about Krishna. Because in India still today, people have some sentiment, religious sentiment, but they are mostly misled. If we had established here a Sai Baba temple, then many people would come also. If we made propaganda, that then people would come. And we have Sai Katha. There's some book made, the Sai Charitamrita or something like that. Someone told me. So there's... People would have come, but the result would have been different to hearing about Krishna. Because Krishna is the proper object of worship, and others are not. Others are worshipable only if they are situated in their proper position of service to Krishna. Just like tomorrow, the Vyasa Puja of Srila Prabhupada is to be celebrated. We're not celebrating Srila Prabhupada's appearance in this world because he appeared in Calcutta in 1896. Because so many people appeared in Calcutta in 1896. We're not celebrating Srila Prabhupada's appearance in this world because he was born the son of a cloth merchant. We're not celebrating the appearance of Srila Prabhupada in this world because he was a good madanga player. We're not celebrating Prabhupada's appearance in this world because he took sannyas. So these are all various facets of Srila Prabhupada's personality and his activities. But other people also played and play madanga. Other people have also accepted sannyas. But we glorify Srila Prabhupada because he is that great pure devotee of Krishna who brought Krishna consciousness to the whole world. We glorify Srila Prabhupada because of his relationship with Krishna. And we maintain that others like Sai Baba should not at all be worshipped. It's a great mistake to worship them because they had no relationship with Krishna. Of course, every jiva has their relationship with Krishna. But this, the various Sai Babas, they did not manifest their relationship with Krishna. And in fact, they wanted to usurp the position of Krishna by acting as the object of attention, of worship for their followers, without directing their followers to Krishna. So actually such persons are sinful. And although it may appear that if you go to their places that you see puja is going on and it all looks very religious and spiritual, but you get exactly the opposite effect of that puja, of purification. You become sinful and contaminated by participating in that. Because building a temple, offering puja, that all this should be done for Krishna, for the glorification of Krishna. That is purifying. If the same is offered to someone else, then that becomes offensive to Krishna. Even the demigods the way they're being worshipped is incorrect. We can offer them respect because they are devotees of Krishna. But if they're offered respect, oblivious to the fact that they are devotees of Krishna, as if they themselves are separate, independent gods, then by doing that, we actually are offensive to Krishna. Of course, that is part of the Vedic path, that one can offer... Okay, I'm finishing this class. Okay. Hare Krishna. All right, finished. Hare Krishna. Shri Krishna Janmashtami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.